Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 5:25 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. And I apologize for the lateness of the hour, particularly for those that are in, anywhere west of or east of here. Well, today was a generally positive day in Europe and in the US, and that's despite the fact that there was quite a bit of volatility and that for a brief time today, Wall Street was in negative territory, but it closed up on the day about 0.75%, and the Nasdaq a bit more than that. Many of the indices in Europe were up in excess of 1%, and the DAX is one to keep an eye on there because it is not only packed full of some of the largest companies in the Eurozone, but it's emblematic of what people kind of think of what's happening in Europe, not least because it represents Germany. And it's hovering there just below 10,000, and it was up 1.6% in here today. Well, when you look at Europe, then we're treated to what has been a very choppy uptrend over the last 4 years. But it is in Europe where there is really quite a compelling case to have additional quantitative easing. With everything that the ECB has done and all the additional responsibilities that it has taken on over the last few years, they really only still have one official mandate, and that is to target an inflation rate of approximately 2%, but not more than that. And they are a far cry from a 2% inflation rate right now. So they have an open door, an open case for additional monetary easing. And, well, there is little reason to expect that they're going to reverse course anytime soon. So we've seen a pretty accelerated decline over the last week in particular, and a number of indices, and not just in Europe, are back in the region of previous lows. So it's a natural area for some support to start coming back in and short-term oversold conditions to begin to be unwound. And we're beginning to see signs of that, and not least today, because the oil price at least paused in the region of $30 on Brent crude. And just to put things in perspective, then the moving average for oil at this stage is considerably above where we are right now, and even in a very bear market environment, then there is still potential for an unwinding of short-term oversold conditions, and it's now beginning to look more likely than not. What we've seen in stock markets over the last three or four sessions has been some pretty aggressive selling, and certainly making headlines that it is the worst start to a year in history. Well, that in itself is either good news or bad news, then, in that it is setting us up for attractive buying opportunities in some of the things that are interesting. And but it does beg the question, exactly what are the risks out there? So one of the things that happened in here over the last couple of days is that the arbitrage between the onshore and the offshore renminbi has closed entirely, and that there is a pretty concerted effort by the Chinese authorities to pressure short sellers. That does not mean that the renminbi is going to become a tower of strength in terms of the currency markets, but what it does suggest is that they're not going to tolerate just one-sided bets, and that would suggest that it's going to be a dangerous environment for anyone who wants to be short in the very short term, but that when you look at the medium term, the Chinese need a weaker currency, and a weaker currency, it looks that is what they're going to get. With geopolitical tensions such as they are, then this oil price down here is in need of a catalyst, and well, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we're going to get some form of catalyst in the oil price over the next few weeks or even the next couple of months in the form of a large bankruptcy in terms of those highly leveraged unconventional oil and gas producers and explorers, or that geopolitical tensions deteriorate even further. And who's to say that we're not going to get both? Well, certainly when something is accelerating lower, such as oil prices are right now, that's got to be a trend-ending characteristic. But for how long will be the big question? Then you look at the gold price, and it has been very steady. It's continuing to hold here below $1,100, and it's around $1,085 right now. Well, we've had a little bit of volatility after what had been a pretty firm performance over the last couple of weeks, and silver is back below $14, but it hasn't really pulled back in the same way that some of the other commodities have. And this continues to look like short term, that at least supply and demand are back in balance, and that it really would need a move to a new low sustained for more than a couple of days to suggest that the medium term downtrend is going to be reasserted. I'm going to hold on to my silver for a while longer. I'm willing to bet that it isn't going to break lower, but that is a bet. That this isn't, we don't have confidence yet that this medium-term downtrend in both silver and gold has ended. We won't have that until they sustain moves above their respective trend means, and, well, we're still a bit away from that. Well, to the extent that stock markets, by and large, were a bit quieter in here today, then the bond prices were a little bit quieter as well. But we've certainly had some pretty big moves, both in stocks and bonds, and treasuries continue to look like safe havens in here. And you know, the long bond is still at 157. That's a high price, but these are traditional safe havens. And the yen is right at the lower side of, well, the dollar is at the lower side of its range against the yen. And it's, at the time of recording at least, it's at 118 even. Well, it's been as low as 117 and a half. And for this period of deleveraging to get worse, well, then the yen would have to break the dollar's uptrend. And certainly it's had a loss of momentum, and it's strengthened up quite a lot over the last couple of weeks. But this is still only the lower side of that range, and it hasn't yet broken, the dollar hasn't really broken down against the yen. And I think the yen is the barometer to really keep an eye on. One of the issues that you have when you have oil prices at such low levels is that it increases the profitability of other mining operations. Energy costs are really quite a considerable cost for the mining sector, and the fact that energy is so low right now, then marginal operations have been given a lease, an extension or a lease, an additional lease life, because of these low energy prices. Well, what it also means is that certainly the low oil price isn't great for if you're an over-leveraged energy explorer, but if you're an over-leveraged miner, then this low energy price really is good news. And what it means also is that if we start to see oil prices rallying, and considering how low they are, then a doubling from this level isn't beyond the bounds possibility, then that would put really quite a lot of pressure on some of those over-leveraged mining companies, and it could be the kind of catalyst required to really start to get the M&A action moving, and also to knock some of that expensive supply out of the market. So it's really quite a taut environment, and oil prices mean a lot to a lot of different markets. And you know, when we look at these stock markets, then they are oversold. They have found at least short-term support, so there is some unwinding of this short-term oversold condition underway right now. And then the big question will be, once they get back up towards those trend means, what's going to happen then? But we would need follow through tomorrow to really start to begin, well, at least begin to confirm that getting back up towards the trend mean is a realistic possibility. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.